Commissioner Chi.
Present.
Commissioner Cole.
Present.
Commissioner Insani. Commissioner Fuentes.
Present.
Commissioner Gaime.
Here.
Commissioner Hale.
Here.
Commissioner Maldonado.
Here.
Commissioner McCarthy.
Here.
Commissioner Moloditskaya is excused. Commissioner Moses. Commissioner Paz.
Here.
Commissioner Ritchie. Commissioner Tom.
Here.
And the commission has a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I'd like to open up for public comment. Members of the public may address the commission on any items not on the agenda for a period of time not to exceed 3 minutes. Speakers shall address remarks to the commission as a whole and not to individual commissioners or department personnel. Is there anybody from public comment? See nobody for public comment. Public comment is closed. Item 3, approval of previous minutes. The approval of October 24th, full commission minutes. I'll give everybody a few minutes if there's any friendly amendments. Could I get a second?
Second.
Is there anybody opposed? See none, minutes approved. Okay, item 4, introduction and presentation by the Arab, Middle Eastern, Muslim, South Asian Coalition of San Francisco Bay Area. Is there somebody here who wants to talk on that item? Okay, please step up to the mic and state your full name. And I believe we will be able to give 3 minutes, but if you need more time, I think that'll be fine, right? Yeah.
Since they're on the agenda and a presenter at the commission's request, you can set the time, Commissioner.
So why don't you?
That's fine.
That's fine. Thank you so much.
My name is Noor Shamas. I am the immigration attorney at the Arab Resource and Organizing Center. We are part of this MEMSA coalition, which is actually a learning circle that is part of the Civic Engagement Fund, a program that is funded by APIP. Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders, and philanthropy, and our learning circle works in immigrant and refugee rights. We organized this learning circle, and the groups that are in it came together in order to advocate and educate about immigrants and immigrant rights in the region and the country in general, but also because we felt that the general, representation of immigrant rights nationally lacks a MEMSA voice, an MEMSA presence at the table, and we felt that it was necessary for us to be present at that table, so that particular issues in immigration that are affecting members of the MEMSA community are heard and are presented. There are several such issues that are. That have affected MEMSA communities, namely, and there's several of them, but I just would like to mention some of them just so you are aware of the things that we're working for. We have the issue of the no-fly zone, the no-fly list, which is a list that is released by the government, but is sort of a secret list, and a lot of people are not aware that they are on the list until they attempt to travel. And we have members of the community here that have actually traveled abroad, and once they attempt to come back into the country, they find themselves on that list and are unable to return. So in essence, they're prevented from coming back to the U.S. Some of those people are actually U.S. citizens, in fact, but they are, because of their background, they have been placed on that list. They don't know why they've been placed on that list, and yet they are unable to return. One such person who is actually from San Francisco went to his country in Yemen, and on an attempt to return, he was not able to get on the plane because he was told that he was on the no-fly list. And then later on, as he was trying to find out what had happened, he was called to meet some FBI agents in the embassy, and they actually told him that they wanted him to work with them, and if he did, that they would help him out and bring him back to the country, and if he didn't, that there was nothing that he could do. So these are some of the issues that a lot of our community members are facing. In addition to that, and I actually brought one of my clients here because he's one of the people who was actually placed in detention recently. And his case is kind of unique because he did have a couple convictions. He was a legal permanent resident. Because of his felony convictions, he was placed in removal proceedings. He was detained. He had been held in detention by ICE for about 6 months. And we kept trying to contact ICE to try to release him because he has a pending case in San Francisco it's a pending case where he needs to go under a rehab program. And the case is that there's a condition that if he finishes the program, he would get his charges dismissed. The issue was that we were trying to get ICE to release him so that he could continue with his program, and they would not. And they said that the only way they would release him was if San Francisco had a warrant. Now, San Francisco has had three bench warrants, outstanding warrants, for this person. ICE continued to lie and tell us that they had no warrant. They checked the records and there were no warrants for the client. And they also told us at one point that even if there was a warrant, that their relationship with San Francisco was not a very good relationship, so they wouldn't even release him then. And the only reason that they released him was that he threatened to go on a hunger strike, and that was just a couple weeks ago. And once he threatened to go on a hunger strike, they met with him, they kind of freaked out a little bit, and then they decided that they would release him and put a GPS device on him to make sure that, you know, he's under surveillance. And so this is just to kind of give you an idea of the type of cases that we're dealing with here and why we felt that we wanted to create our learning circle and present our voice in this immigrant rights battle that we're all facing. Some of the things that we're planning on is we want to have an educational aspect to our program and also an advocacy aspect. We want to advocate on behalf of our community. So we want the education part. We want to educate both our community and people outside of our community around the immigration issues that are affecting us. And also we want to advocate on behalf of their rights. And we felt that, you know, it would be good to introduce ourselves to the Immigrant Rights Commission so you are aware that we're here and that we're going to be working in the future to try to, organize meetings and hearings and forums that would educate the community at large and also our own community about what's going on with immigration.
Okay, has anybody got some questions there? I'd like to open. Is there anybody else further comment from anybody else on this issue?
My client would just like to.
Yeah, if you step up to the mic, and then after that we can ask questions. Then, okay. Please state your name, and thank you for coming to see me.
Good evening. My name is Saber Abu Zahra, spelled Abuzahra. I'm glad to be here to share some experience, which is unfortunate, happened to me in detain for almost 6 months and 3 weeks. The ICE ignore all. Two immigration judge, which has said this person need to be released to finish his program in San Francisco for him to dismiss his case. I've been living in this city for almost 21 years. I never break the law for 19 years. A mistake happened after that. It's not a big mistake. It's a small one, which is my mistake. It's a felony. It's a 4 degree, which is not what they're looking for. They're looking for aggravated felony. My lawyer tried to release me. We follow all the instructions. We give them all the paperwork they need. They ignore all the paperwork. They said, you don't have a punch warrant. You have a pending case. There is no warrant. I said, there is a warrant. There is three different warrants. It's one case. It's in the drug court. This is the paperwork. They ignore me for almost 7 months. Finally, I decide to go on a hunger strike, which is I did for almost 5 days. They met with me and they released me right away. What happened is they really discriminate about the resident and the justice system in San Francisco, because during that time when I was there is a lot of people being released to a different county in California for pending cases. They stay a couple of weeks and they release him to finish their criminal case. I've been told, and I have paperwork for that, if my case was in a different county than San Francisco, they would release me. And my lawyer being told the same thing. And I wonder why. I ask why. She said, well, you know, San Francisco is not really cooperate with ICE. Other county, they have a system called alien program. As soon as that guy walked to the courthouse, the computer linked with their system, which is they tell him, oh, this is alien resident or this doesn't have any green card. They put hold on him. San Francisco refused to do that. It's the only county in California that doesn't cooperate with him. So they're taking it basically in people from San Francisco. Almost 98% from the details from South America. It's very low percentage Arab or Middle Eastern there. I don't know. I felt like it's a discrimination in both ways against, you know, Middle Eastern or Muslim people, and in the same time, the city and county of San Francisco. I appeared in front of the immigration judge 6 times, and each time the judge telling the government attorney, this guy need to be released to finish his pending case. There is no use for him to be here and we, you know, submit his application for cancellation removal, which is he's eligible, and give him his green card. And you guys, when we release him, you come after him when the case in San Francisco finish. You know, this case has to be settled first. And they ignore everything, ignore all the paperwork. Mr. Shammas try his best from all the paperwork they need. Finally, when they saw me serious about the hunger strike, I lost about 18 pounds in 5 days. They met with me and they released me. And, I thought it's a good opportunity to be here today and just, you know, share this experience with you. And thanks for listening.
Thank you, Sabir.
Thank you.
Commissioner, I'll open up for comments to the commission, to the commissioners. Commissioner Hale, do you have some comments?
Yes, I have a question for each one. One is I wanted to ask you what your plan is for trying to get the no-fly list eliminated.
Well, I mean, in the short term, it's a very difficult thing to deal with right now. There is a pending lawsuit right now with federal court regarding specific people who were placed on the no-fly list, and for no justifiable reason, and they were actually abroad, and I think they're still abroad because they have been unable to return. But there's a pending lawsuit. We still don't know. We still don't know how the court is going to rule on that. So,
in what court?
It's the court in Oregon, I believe.
And I wanted to ask him where he was in jail. Where does ICE send people these days?
Yes.
Where? Where did they send you to jail?
Well, they almost took me all over the country. My criminal case was in New York, so they took me from Manhattan. They replaced me in New Jersey. Then I asked the judge for change venue. They sent me here to San Francisco. They picked me up from the airport, take me to Contra Costa County, which is Richmond area. Mm-hmm. Then when they see me complain too much, they tell me you're released. They released me to San Francisco, and San Francisco said, no, you're not released. You are being transferred to Yuba County. Okay, well, thank you. And I went to Yuba County, and I believe that's a torch because it takes almost 7 hours to get to court, which is you are handcuffed and chained and sitting in a bus. You cannot relieve yourself. You have no water. The trip when you leave from here, you go to Oakland Airport till they deport everybody from the Kaiser Executive Airport. The trip, basically about 22 hours exactly, by the time you make it back, it's 11 o'clock at night, and you leave that morning at 2 a.m., it's basically 22 hours. About 12 hours, you chain up in the bus back and forth, which is, it's a bad experience, I mean.
Thank you. Would you have just, is there any other, before I go last? Just with regard to, would you say, ICE and even the airport, where we, you know, in the earlier days, you know, traditionally after 9/11, we were getting a lot of complaints here, particularly in this commission, particularly from Middle Eastern people coming in, and where they were kind of picked out and they were kind of given a more heavier kind of cross examination coming in than normal, and every all their credentials were good and stuff. Would you say that there has been a kind of an improvement on that, or is that still pretty much the norm that you're seeing a huge kind of picking out of people coming in from the Middle East, for example?
I haven't seen an improvement myself.
Yeah.
I still get complaints from clients about this.
Yeah.
in terms of you're talking about the searches at the airport.
Yeah.
Yes. Then there has not been an improvement in that regard. With respect to even the no-fly list that I mentioned, there's actually been an increase in the number of people that have been placed on that list.
Right.
I think it's in the 10,000 range right now,
right.
Which is pretty high, considering that a lot of the people are actually U.S. citizens even that are being placed on that list and that are being prevented from returning to the country. There's another list that causes people to undergo added searches at the airport. That list, I think, has, last time I saw, was over 100,000 people on that list. So there are, I still am getting a lot of complaints. So I wouldn't say that there's been an improvement.
I have two questions. I think you might have mentioned slightly that there's no conditions to being placed on the no-fly list, but do you have any idea what the...
No, I didn't say there's no conditions. We don't know what the conditions are. We don't know what the criteria they're using are. They've never told us. We know that some things have been leaked out, and one of the criteria that they had been using was actually credit score, and which led to an outcry. And so they promised that they would not use a credit score anymore as a criteria to place people on the no-fly list. But other than that, we're not really sure what they're using. And a lot of people are really surprised to find themselves on a no-fly list. Now, there are cases of mistaken identity, so names that look similar. People are informed that they're on a no-fly list when, in fact, they are not. Those people, have some recourse. They can go back and clear and clarify that they have the wrong identity. It still leads them to miss their flights, and they have to go through additional process so that they can get on the plane. But at least they have some recourse. But then there are people who are wrongfully placed on the no-fly. They are actually on the no-fly list, and there's nothing they can do about it, or very little that they can do about it.
And then my other question is maybe for the both of you is, how often do you guys encourage the members that come to you guys to get their citizenship? Because I think you said you were here for 21 years, and the incident happened after 19 years of being here. I mean, all of it would have been alleviated if you were a citizen. So is that something you encourage, or is that people deter from?
No, I mean, that's something we always encourage when people come in and it's been, several years and they haven't gotten their citizenship. Obviously, it would make it much easier for them if they were to have their citizenship. It would take away a lot of the problems. But still, I mean, some people, what happens and what they tell me is that they sort of, they're just living their normal lives and they completely forget that they're supposed to apply for their citizenship until something happens like this. And then they're arrested and then they go through all this mess because of their legal permanent residence. We still think that there's no justification for the type of treatment that they give to people that are legal permanent residents. But yes, we definitely encourage people to get their citizenships, when they're qualified to do so. I don't know if you want to say something
about that. I carry dual citizenship. I'm original Palestinian, and I live in Jordan. I carry citizenship from Jordan. So I was doing fine the best 1 year with the green card, travel with my other passport. So I said, when time's come, I can apply for the citizen. I don't really, need it right now. I don't want to carry three citizenship. And that's what happened when the law changed in 1997. And I never crossed my mind I'm going to be in trouble for them to take my green card away. That's the only reason I don't apply for the citizenship. It's just like a mistake, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, is there any more questions? Yeah, Commissioner?
I don't have a question, I just have a statement. I am so glad that you have formed this coalition. It's needed for information and for to make sure that the San Francisco community and, just presenting here at this commission, that we understand and that we help you for San Franciscans to understand and support the work you're doing. Thank you so much for taking that step.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for coming out and telling your story here this evening. Okay, thank you so much. I believe the director here is here. Would you like to say a few words? Yeah, good.
I do apologize for being late. I have a few handouts. My name is Adubu Traore, and I'm the project director of the Africa Advocacy Network. And some of you may remember that I was here about 1 year ago, and to inform you about, you know, I was starting a new organization serving African and Afro-Caribbean immigrants in the city of San Francisco. And I'm back today, first of all, you know, to say thank you to the commission, and particularly to Ms. Pound and Mr. Fuentes, who were very, very available to help us, you know, when we requested a recommendation letter in order to apply for the BIA certification. And, you know, just to proceed from there, we needed the BIA certification because the African Advocacy Network was created. At first, you know, our ambition was to provide all kinds of services. But again, looking at our resources, and also we started at a time when, you know, the economic situation of the country did not allow founders, you know, to pass money out. So we had to strategize, and our strategy was to cut down on other services and look at our resources, and then, you know, make a strategic choice. And our choice was, first of all, to look at the clients who were walking in and look at, you know, what they requested most. And we found out that, you know, what they needed more was some kind of legal assistance. So in this process, you know, we could hire a second paralegal, and at the same time, we expanded, you know, our base of constituents, because at first we were created to serve essentially African immigrants, but then, you know, after the earthquake, we were requested also, you know, to assist the Haitians, and who happened to live mostly in Marin County. But again, you know, our action, you know, is all over, you know, the San Francisco Bay Area and as far as San Francisco, because we have clients, you know, coming from all these places. So we made certain, you know, some progress, because the first time I came here, I didn't know that it would still be around, you know, for 2 or 3 months. But, you know, we're still around, so I guess, you know, we can still hoping for a better future. Now, you know, a big problem we've been trying to deal with is how is it possible to efficiently serve a community which is so-called, you know, invisible and voiceless. So we're serving people who don't have, you know, any background in terms of fighting for their rights. And for most of us, you know, from some African countries, when you enjoy your right, you think that, you know, it's a favor instead of, you know, looking at it, you know, it's something which is due to you. So, and now how do you encourage, you know, these kind of people in a new context, you know, to stand up and start, you know, fighting for their rights, you know, knowing, you know, their backgrounds and sometimes, you know, the trauma, you know, that all of them, you know, had to go through. And then the second issue that we're dealing with, we don't travel a lot in Africa. So to be honest, before I came here, I had no chance, you know, to meet anybody from Botswana. I'm from West Africa, I'm from the Ivory Coast, and so we don't travel a lot. So the first time I ever met a Botswana is when I came to the U.S. Now, how do you get someone from the Ivory Coast and someone from Botswana? They're living on the same continent, but it's like they're living on the different continents apart. To meet, you know, on a foreign land and start getting together right away and, you know, strategizing together. So we believe that, you know, a major step that we need to make, you know, for the African community is to bring, first of all, you know, the people that we are serving together. How the Ethiopian, you know, can look in the same direction, you know, with someone from Nigeria, someone from Senegal, or someone from the Ivory Coast. And in the process of strategizing, we couldn't see quite well, you know, how we could achieve that. And one thing that we all of us agreed, I mean, with the three of us, the staff members, you know, agreed on, was, you know, art is certainly something that, you know, we could use, you know, as a tool to bring these people together. So we could use art not only to bring the Africans that we serve and the Afro-Caribbeans that we serve together, but we also think that, you know, art could be used as a bridge, you know, in order, you know, to connect with other communities of immigrants. And also, as I always said, I strongly believe that, you know, as immigrants, we also have something to give back, you know, to America. And I think that, you know, something quite specific, like, you know, our arts, you know, are definitely, you know, something that we'll be using. So, and we had a first experiment or experience, and which was, we got a grant from the City Arts Commission, so we put together a play, which was at the same time a ballet. But our first request was that our clients, non-professional artists, be participants in the project, because it's always about, you know, giving these people a chance, you know, to tell their stories. And, you know, briefly, the story in the play was someone who left the country looking for peace. and which is certainly one of the reasons why, you know, some of the immigrants, you know, landed in America. And it was a great success because among the artists, we have people of all races, and to me, it was a dream come true. We had Africans from the East, from the West, and then from the North, you know, who participated. And also, you know, among the dancers, we have people of all races, Caucasian, Hispanics, Asian, you name it. And for 3 nights in a row, you know, we sold out. So I think that, you know, it was a great experience, and people are asking us, you know, to take the show all over the Bay Area. But again, you know, more than the show itself, you know, is what we're achieving, you know, from that. Having people who don't know us, you know, come in, realize, oh, you know what, we have Africans, you know, living among us in the city. And this is what we're trying to achieve. And, you know, our dream would be one day to have North Africans, South Africans, East Africans, West Africans, you know, putting together a network that they can show to people and then, you know, raise the awareness about, you know, our existence in the community. So I've made it a point, you know, to give you, you know, a short, quick facts about what we have been able to achieve so far. And, you know, I tried to make it as short as I could. I know that, you know, you have a pretty long agenda, so I'm not going to take much more time. But if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy, you know, to answer them.
Do we have any questions for the director?
Yes. The name of your play and where you refer people who do need services.
The name of the play was called Lani, and I think Lani is in a language spoken in the French-speaking Guinea in West Africa, which means peace. So it was essentially someone, you know, was looking for peace and that left the country, you know, looking for peace. And then, you know, finally they could go back, you know, because they found out, you know, with music they could bring people together. So, you know, what they were bringing back home was not money, but it was some kind of art. Now, you know, in terms of referrals, I said that, you know, we're essentially providing legal services, and now we're expanding our services into the field of art. But most of the time when people come, you know, they will come up with issues like, you know, oh, I don't have any housing, I don't have any job. So what we do is that, you know, we've been partnering a lot, you know, with other organizations. And we, for instance, you know, refer people to La Raza. And we're working with all kind of organizations, like the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights, and the East Bay Sanctuary. I mean, anywhere where we think that, you know, looking at our limited capacity, where we think that, you know, we can cut some deals and some partnership and refer our clients there, mostly, you know, for the services that we're not providing, then, you know, we definitely, you know, cut these deals. And that's why, you know, we're a member of MMSA, because, you know, among MMSA, you know, and is the African component. And when we started, people were asking, well, what are you black people doing, you know, in this group? But at the same time, you know, people tend to forget that if you look at West Africa, you know, West Africa, a large proportion of the populations in West Africa, and even in East Africa, in a place like Zanzibar, you know, where the majority of the population is Muslim. So we thought that, you know, we had our way to say there, and I hope, you know, they're enjoying to have us, you know, among them in terms of contribution.
Is there any further questions? Thank you so much for coming out, and congratulations.
All right, thank you again, I hope, you know, next year I will come back, that we won't close that. I will be back next year to update you again.
Thank okay,
you again.
Please do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, item five, this is an action item, an update and approval of proposed December 2011 consulate reception. The director, do you want to take it from there?
Oh, yes.
Or Commissioner Fuentes.
I just briefly, you know, our director is basically the one that's been helping us, been taking the lead and helping us to get the room and everything. So I really want Director Pond to give us an update about it. So,
so commissioners, most of the details are pretty much set. We want to thank Commissioner Fuentes for reaching out in advance to some of the consulates and make sure that the date was saved. But the reception will be scheduled for Monday, December 12th.
Great.
And it will be held here at City Hall in room 201. We could not get the international room because that is out of the mayor's office, and the mayor's office is not involved in this. Otherwise, it becomes a formal interaction with the consulate. So this is between the Immigrant Rights Commission and the invited parties. So we're confirmed here at City Hall. The staff will take care of ordering refreshments, et cetera. The invitations are scheduled to go out tomorrow They're very simple, and I will just pass the sample out to everybody. Let's see, and then the staff will be identifying at the suggestion of the International Affairs Office for the City and County of San Francisco. They do not recommend that we invite every consulate. There are 66 consulates in the City and County of San Francisco, in addition to more than half a dozen that have relationships. There are also complications, and they were advising us to avoid those complications where there might be some disagreement among some of the groups, that we just focus on inviting the consulates that might have a natural interest in the work of the Immigrant Rights Commission.
And those are?
Yeah, how did you determine that?
Well, we haven't finalized that. But currently, the commission and the office mainly works with the Latin American consulates. We do a lot of work with them, particularly the Mexican consulate, I believe the Irish consulate. And if you have some recommendations on which other ones we should be including, please let staff know.
Is Chinese amongst?
And the Indian.
Yeah, Chinese, India.
Yeah, Indians, the People's Republic India.
Yes,
of China
Republic
is
China.
The only one that has a formal relationship and embassy here.
Oh, right. We will, okay.
Okay,
good.
So we can include them.
Taiwan?
I can talk to you offline about that.
Yeah, I think it would be better.
India.
Yeah. Because upon the advice of the international office, there are some things that they do not suggest the commission do.
We can talk about
Orient.
We haven't done any work with them, but what we could do is take your suggestions offline after and work with you then.
So these invites will go out, Director, and then they'll be saved. The date has already gone out, has it?
Well, actually, I sent an email to the consul, embajador of Carlos Felix, and the consul from Latin America, because they're the ones that I've been working with for a long time.
Yeah.
And he already replied, and he said that he's going to be here. And he's the dean of the consuls of Ibero-America, so it's very important to have him here. He already confirmed.
Okay.
And so, let's...
Mm-hmm. Okay, with regard to commissioners then, who will be available here? Will everybody be, because this will be a part of our full meeting, right, for December?
This will replace your, traditionally in December, the commission does not meet, and this will replace your regularly scheduled meeting. But I would say if you're going to invite the council generals of these, they're very important people, that we really need to have a good showing from all of the commissioners.
If you're taking counts now. Because I will be there. Just
it'd be a little embarrassing not to have as many commissioners there as possible.
Yes.
We've been at this crossroads a few times now before where you say you will show up and people don't show up. So if we're going to give our names, please, so we know going in that you're definitely going to be there unless you have an emergency of some sort.
Exactly.
Monday, December 12th.
Yeah.
I will be on the AM. We're not the country.
Okay. Right. So who will definitely be here as of based on your schedule right now? Who will definitely attend this meeting on the December 12th, right? Yeah, okay. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4.
10?
10, 10, 11, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and which commissioners are we missing here tonight? Are we missing any?
I think Sonia.
Missing one, so maybe we might have. So I tell you what, it'd be just for the interest of making, because this is going to be a big deal if they come here, and I've got a good feeling that a lot of the consulates will show that if you would email tomorrow, confirming that you will be attending in writing, would be greatly appreciated.
I have a question. So who else is invited aside from the consul generals and the commissioners?
Mm-hmm. Okay, because the purpose of this is to introduce the commission to the consulates, it will. We will also be inviting some of the supervisors and the mayor, but it was suggested that we not involve outside third parties, since what we're trying to do is position the commission with the consulates, and then some of them will be bringing some of their key staff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if commissioners, if you can RSVP to Whitney or to Danielle of our staff, and then let me know offline after the meeting ends which consulates you'd like us to invite.
And I guess on the evening then, the format, director, what were you thinking? Introductions and is there any particular?
I think a welcome,
yeah.
If by the chair,
yeah.
On behalf of the commission, introductions, and then it's just meet and greet.
Yeah.
Unless you want to have a formal program, which we the international office doesn't suggest that. Just, you know, let them get to know you as commissioners and individuals.
Okay. So it'll be pretty kind of casual evening. So, okay, good. All right. Thank you for that. I'm glad that's coming together. I think that'll be a good close to the year.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah.
No. Okay. So this is actually, we need to vote on this. So we have agreed, and that is anybody opposed to this that's happening on the December 12th? See none. So, okay. So that's all agreed on. Huh? What was that? All those in favour?
For motions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Anybody against? See none. Okay. Just taking it for granted there. Okay. Item six, evaluation of the District 4 neighbourhood meeting. I'm glad we had the meeting. It was a beautiful location. It's obviously, it was disappointing that we didn't have more people show out. And that's kind of a discussion we need to have. It does take a lot of energy to put these things together, and it's hard to sit there with an empty room when you kind of go to these meetings. But I believe now I can honestly say that after all these years, some have been successful, some haven't. I did talk to the supervisor about it afterwards, and she just kind of pretty much said it's very, very difficult to get people out to a forum to discuss anything these days. If it's not school-related or something like public transportation or something, heavy-duty crime issues or something that's kind of very current in real time, they're just not intended to come out and just have general conversations about the community, you know. Mm-hmm. That said, I'd like to put it on the table here. I mean, we have to take a hard look. It does take a lot of energy to do this, and I would be interested to see any input from the commissioners with regard to do we need to keep doing this? Which I know my feelings are about it, but I would like to open up that discussion and understanding that we are going to have low turnouts to these things, and if there's anything we could do to kind of change that around would be another thing. Commissioner?
I just wanted, unfortunately I wasn't, because this was very close to the elections, and for those of us who were involved, it was very difficult. So I want to make a comment. I believe maybe that was one reason, because a lot of us had reached out to the communities on the election issues, you know, for various things, and maybe this is an anomaly, and we have to kind of evaluate this in conjunction with the previous community meetings and the one previous in terms of attendance. Maybe this would be just one, you know, singular point that is not an indication of a lack of interest from the community and us, because I know that I was just overwhelmed with all the issues of the elections and my job.
Yes, I just want to say something about it. I believe that we have a large outreach committee, and I really would love to see everybody participating, because it seems like when this happened, we end with only one or two commissioners working on this, and so that's another thing that is really affecting us, because we need to do our best effort and try to bring people to the meetings. You know, that's why we are in the outreach committee, or we can, I don't know, redo the committees, and so that way we can move faster, or I don't know, but I'm very concerned about the situation that we have a big committee. We are like 8 people in the outreach committee, and basically it's no persons.
Nobody comes.
That's all.
Commissioner?
I had a couple of points. One is, once I went to a police commission meeting out in the neighborhood, and they had a specific agenda ahead of time, which was a medical marijuana facility was going to open in a place that was highly contested, which brought about people from both sides, so there was good attendance. And if you have just a general meeting that sort of discuss what's out there in the community without a sort of heated, up-to-date topic, it's harder to get people out. And then the other thing, which is unrelated to this, was just an idea of holding a joint meeting along with something else that's already happening that has some constituency attending already, but related to Immigrant Rights Commission, possibly police or another group that has an issue that could relate to immigrant rights, we could have a better turnout. Those are my only two thoughts.
Commissioner Hill.
Well, we have had large turnouts at some of our community meetings, so I hope we don't give them up, like Visitation Valley, like the Mission, like Chinatown. And at each of those, we have brought people from other city departments and made it known. And I think one of the things Supervisor Chu said is everybody's picking up their kids and going home. We saw lots of people where we were meeting, but they didn't come to our meeting. But if you have people from other departments that people are concerned about, like police is one, the previous chief of police, or Heather Fong, used to come and take individual complaints herself from people at our community meetings and make sure they were followed up on. And people with the employment office and the Board of Education. And I think that adds to us and makes our meetings more appealing. And I think that's why people turn out to, unless deported en masse, then everybody's concerned about immigration. But they are concerned about other city services. And I think outreach is best done by person to person. You have a leaflet, but you have someone you talk to.
Yeah.
And I think we need to do more of that.
Commissioner?
I don't want to repeat what Commissioner Hill said, but I'm in complete agreement with what she said. I think we need to personalize it. I remember Commissioner Tom being really passionate about the place, and I don't know that neighborhood that well because I don't go to that neighborhood, so there's no one I can target and say, come to this neighborhood, but it would be great. I don't want to see this type of interaction with the community missing, because I do feel they need us. And they were there, but did they know who we were? You know, and we saw all of them, and they just, you know, they could see what was going on, but did they know what was going on? So it's just interesting to see that there might be a detachment from what we intend to do and what we're doing, and how much of an outreach is actually being done person to person on an individual basis.
Yeah. Commissioner?
I do agree with Commissioner Tom that we should be more focused in our meetings. I do agree also that we need to continue meetings in communities. What was going to make it worthwhile for us and for the community is to be able to know that there is going to be a discussion on a particular issue. And we cannot dictate the issue. However, we know, because we as commissioners and also the staff in the office, they really know the pulse of what's going on. And there might be some issues that, you know, are of importance. And those are those times is when we should go out to that particular community. The community mobilizes. If we're talking about the majority of the Asian community in that area, will have an issue with immigration. And if you say, we're going to come here to discuss this issue, you know, whatever it is, regards on something in our purview. And I know a lot of people go to the police meetings and all this to complain, but those are very directed. Those are the folk who are involved with the police relations, etc. And that's not in our purview as immigrant rights commissioners. So, you know, I don't think we should, you know, delve into everything that's the issue out there, but look into our work plan and figure out what is it in the different communities that are going to affect. The meeting that you talked, that Commissioner Hale talked about, the audience was mostly Asian. Why? Because it had been, you know, afterwards that there was some tensions between the Asian African American community. And the police chief was there, and there were other folks who had been involved in that issue, and they themselves mobilized to that meeting. And of course, the ambassadors that had been working there very strongly made that happen, but we don't have ambassadors in the Sunset. So you see, we have to look at it, the whole picture, and don't beat ourselves up. It's not our fault. We did the best we could, and we were there. And that's the best thing we can do.
Commissioner Sani, yeah.
Can I say something? That's a very good point. It reminds me of when we had that District 1 meeting. It was, I guess, in 2007 or 2006, that then Police Chief Fang was there, and we had, several of the city commission. And we had a lot of the city officials. And we had a lot of people come, members of the community, and they came and they spoke. It was, I think, at one of the high schools. It was a very successful. And I think we really got to the bottom of a lot of issues of the communities. So it could be that bringing in the city officials and kind of, having them talk to them, and even Heather Funk spoke and other people. So that might help.
Is there any more comment? Well, if I may, I'm kind of glad there was no city officials there, because it wouldn't have been, I know a lot of people are saying, well, where are they?
Carmen Chu was there.
Well, it's true. I take that back, Commissioner Tommy, you're right. And she wasn't a bit fazed by it. This is something that she sees all the time. I think we just can't take it for granted to go into these communities and just put an agenda together and everybody shows up. I don't think that's going to happen anymore. When we pick our area, we actually have to find, like what a lot of the commissioners are saying here, these hot-button issues, and put them on the table and see if that will generate interest. Yes. The community leaders, the team captains, whatever, I think they need to be contacted, and I think they need to be not just emailed and stuff. I think we need to figure out if we've got 10 community leaders that within the commission and the outreach committee, that each one of us take two or three of these people, call them, and say that we want to have a meeting, but we're not going to just show up and nobody show up. So can we get a commitment? What are the issues? And they would say, well, we'll give you some items to talk about, and then that would bring those people. I mean, we're not talking about a lot of people. We're just talking about community leaders and people who are or voice their concerns. So I think we need to be a little bit more strategic and not take it for granted. Obviously, some communities are tougher than others, and we recognize that. My humble opinion is I think we should keep it going and get out to all of these different communities, all 11 of them. And I think we should schedule the next one. I think we just need to be a little bit more strategic. And once we got somehow of a head count, some kind of a feeling that we're going to have, let's say, 20, 25 people, then we invite the staff, the make sure that the people from the city heads are there, because they need to have people there. I mean, it's really not really who of us to be bringing heads out like there, and there's nobody there. So I think we got a break, quite honestly, even though I know there was nobody there. But we'll see. We'll leave it at that. Commissioner Tom, thank you so much. You went through a lot to get that room space. It's a fabulous space. It would have been a great place for it. So we'll go on to the next one, and I guess we'll have another outreach meeting, and we'll discuss the next area and kind of take it from there. Okay? Okay, so that was just more of a discussion on it. So the next item, if there's any more discussion, any questions on this? No? It's an action item, scheduling the agenda items for the annual IRC strategic planning meeting. Process of election of the next 2012 officers, and highlighting achievements for contribution of immigrants. That's something that I think we need to also discuss. Director Pond, can I talk to you a little bit about the election of the officers, where we stand there? Mm-hmm. And I can't believe we're here again at more officers' elections.
It's been a quick year.
It's been a year. It was yesterday. Seems like yesterday.
So, commissioners, traditionally, per your bylaws, the slate of officers or the discussion for officers for the next year starts in October, and the executive committee decided at their last meeting, because of the election and lots of different scheduling issues, that the election will take place at the annual retreat in January. So between now and the end of December, per the process that the commission set up before, we ask that you submit any recommendations or nominations to staff. That would be to me, and then the staff will kind of organize it and then feed that back to the executive committee, and then in January we'll present your you know, all the nominees, and then you'll have a vote at that meeting.
So that's in January?
Yes, because you're not meeting in December.
Okay. And so that will be for the vice chair and chair again, right?
Correct.
Okay. And so this really December, we won't get a chance to talk about it this evening here, or again, until it's actually January then, right?
Yeah, you can agree on the process tonight, and then after, and then direct the staff to accept the recommendations, and then we'll place that on the agenda for your January meeting.
Okay. If I may, I'd like to kind of head off on that and kind of get ahead of the curve. Last year, we had quite an interesting voting scenario out there, and which was great, and that was great to see such enthusiasm for the positions. What kind of left me a little bit astray was we were asking for weeks on weeks on beforehand who was interested in being nominated. My sense was that that people could have given their names in sooner, and I think it would have, I think it would help us as a commission that if you are interested in running in a chair, or if you feel that somebody should be as chair or vice chair, let's put your names in, and so that we won't have to kind of drag that out on the day. This is what it's about, and it's important that these names are submitted on before us. That would be the only comment I would make. Otherwise than that, I thought it was, how many rounds of voting did we do? We did like five rounds of voting or something?
I think it was more than that.
Yeah, it's worse than Florida. So if we could avoid. So anybody who's really interested, let's put their names forward for the different positions. And it would greatly appreciate it.
Chair, okay, Commissioner, can I make a suggestion? If you can kind of put a deadline that, you know, by this time, please give, and then maybe Whitney or one of the staff could call and ask.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
the deadline, so that way we will have something personally.
So that would be, would that be acceptable to the commissioners?
Yeah, it's just a suggestion.
I mean, obviously, if somebody gets there in the morning and decides they'd like to take that's fine too. I mean, it's just if you are interested in putting your name forward, I think it'd be good for the commission, so we can do that.
Yeah.
So, any particular deadline that works for the staff? Do you think, Director?
Why don't we just say by December 20th? If you can submit your recommendations to me as your executive director, will come to me, not the clerk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on that? No. Okay. And then the highlighting the achievements of contribution of immigrants. This is something that just kind of came out of nowhere. Vera was telling a story there the other night at their executive meeting, and she talked a bit about a particular gentleman, which I'll let Commissioner Hill take it from there. But I thought it was something that if we could talk about tonight, and also the idea struck me that if we all had somebody from our community who kind of resembles what this gentleman did here, this Dr. Q, is that correct, Vera?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you just take it from there, and then I'll close out on it. Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Alfredo Quiñones-Hinojosa. I don't pronounce his last names very well, but he has written a book called Becoming Dr. Q. And he is, I had seen him on television and heard about him a couple of years ago when there was a series called Johns Hopkins, and it was about physicians who worked in Johns Hopkins. And he is a brain surgeon who works there and who specializes in metastasizing brain tumors. And he removes about 300 tumors a year, and is working to try to find a cure for brain cancer. And he is one of those people who climbed over the fence in 1986 to become a farm worker. And this book he has put out is subtitled My Journey from Migrant Farm Worker to Brain Surgeon. And the reason he climbed over the fence that year, I'll pass it around. I'm not quite finished. I need it back, but I'd like you to look at it. He autographed it to immigrant advocates. The reason he came that year was that his family didn't have any food. He was a 19-year-old boy who felt he had to find some way to get food for his family, so he climbed over the fence, worked picking tomatoes in Southern California, and then he was able to go to the San Joaquin Delta Community College to learn English. That was the big thing. He wanted to be a permanent resident so he could study English. And he did, and they thought he was very good, and so they recommended that he go to college, that he not just study English. So he did, and then he got a scholarship to Harvard, and then he came back to UC Med Center here in San Francisco. So he had done most of his training here. And fortunately, he was at a time when President Ronald Reagan's amnesty program was still in effect. And so he was one of the undocumented immigrants who became legalized, and that's how he could go on. It was first a temporary permanent residency, and then a permanent residency, and then citizenship. And now he says he removes about 300 brain tumors a year, so he saves the lives of a lot of people. Got that from the show about Johns Hopkins, which is a university hospital in Baltimore. But he comes out here from time to time, and he says that if we want him to come sometime, then we should let him know, and that at some point he would be glad to talk to a group that was interested. He does come out here because he's involved with stem cell research too, and I think this is an incredible story of an undocumented farm worker who climbed over the fence and who has now saved hundreds of lives of people in his medical practice. Not everybody's going to be able to do this, but it's astounding to look at when the doors open right, how much more people are able to do than when they're closed. If anybody wants to read it, if you give me your name, I'll pass it on to you. When I'll keep a list.
Director?
Okay. I believe that the suggestion that Commissioner Hale made, which was an excellent one, was, and is perhaps something the commission can discuss during its retreat, was how to highlight the achievements of amazing individuals like this person, and perhaps to develop a relationship with some of them, so maybe they'll come. You know, you have a number of events that you may want to plan at the retreat, and maybe one of them will include hearing from amazing role models who are also immigrants, like Dr. Q.
Can I say, I mean, just kind of to follow up with what you said, the Simpson Mattoli bill was amazing, had an amazing effect. I personally know people, members in my family, who, as a result of that, they were illegal, but because their I-94 was just overdue, I mean, they didn't kind of come over the fence, but they actually went to Silicon Valley and made, I mean, some of them, the companies, if I say you guys know the companies, I mean, the founders are incredibly successful billion-dollar companies. So what we can do is we might even be able to do an outreach of people who have this background and show that a policy like that, the effect that it has on the economy and the creation of the jobs and saving lives and kind of, you know, education and all of that, how important it is. And that would be kind of one of the things we could do, and kind of, you know, either invite or put together maybe a pamphlet, send it out. It's just a suggestion.
Yeah. I think the kind of the ha-ha moment we had there at the executive thing was that each of us here, as we would bring somebody from our different communities,
yes,
and just highlight them through our next year. And what I would like to do, with where I was kind of thinking it was, Vera kind of introduced a gentleman here, another I never heard of, and so we would write a letter, you know, saying, congratulations, what you've done is outstanding, and the Immigration Rights Commission recognizes you that, and it's kind of building that bridge, is that you're saying that, mm-hmm, the people like you were, you know, is what we exist for, and we're trying to keep promoting and stuff, and send it out to them. So we would kind of take different individuals. So, for example, Commissioner Zanni, you might have one person in mind, and you'd come tell his story here. We'd all hear the story. And not necessarily that person has to come here, but we would then send out a letter saying we recognize you as an immigrant and what you've done. and to keep up the good work. And then we would do kind of every month we would probably try and have somebody that we would recognize, kind of like favorite book of the month type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Favorite immigrant of the month. Yes. Go ahead, Commissioner.
I also think that there would be a great asset at the Youth Commission.
Yeah.
Because it would be encouraging to see, you know, who mm-hmm. you think you are and mm-hmm. who you could possibly become.
Yeah. So better again. Yeah, that's a really good point. So the idea, sorry, Commissioner Tom, not to monologue.
I didn't want to interrupt your thought, but just, you know, if you had a wish list and could do anything you wanted, one of the groups like SPUR, they have this annual awards for city planning or contributions like that. I mean, I know we're barely able to get attendance at a district meeting, but if we had a big event that was more elegant and a fair that honored immigrants of various walks for different categories or something like that, and had it you know, publicized as an annual thing, or maybe not even annual, maybe, you know, test one out first. I think that would really kind of put us more on the radar with a lot of groups, and I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. Director?
Chair, yeah, a lot of these ideas are great. I think that in your strategic plan, there are a lot of spaces for ideas like this, and we were as staff hoping that at the retreat, in fact, one of the things that staff wanted to propose was an awards program. So I think you know, when you have more time to discuss and go into detail and then brainstorm and decide which of these many ideas the commission wants to execute, I think it's fantastic. Now, we are trying to upgrade our website, too, so that we could have a multimedia storytelling.
Yeah. If I may say, I mean, one of the good things about being on a commission for such a long time is that you tend to recall the institutional history. We used to have, Commissioner Hay remembers, we used to have the award ceremony, and it was very good, very successful, and you know, the current mayor and then CEO used to come. So we used to have that, and it was very good. So maybe we can reinstate that.
So I think, you know, we all concur here that you know, we will take this and we'll kind of fine tune it in January. I would like to also kind of make the decision here that we will generate some sort of letter for this doctor.
Yes.
And send it to him if we know where to send it to Vera. Just a simple letter, you know, that we acknowledge him here at the commission and we recognize his achievements and, you know, something very simple, director, without having to take up too much time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could send that out if we'd agree on that tonight. That would be our first step. And hopefully every month we will have. But we will need everybody in the commission to think of somebody who they know of that kind of moves them and their story. And if this person might not be living in this country anymore or whatever, but it's just the story and recognition. But it's also important that we have the ability to be able to send that letter somewhere recognizing that too, you know. So whoever you do recognize would be kind of good. So we'll fine-tune that at the...
Okay. So, Chair, are you directing staff to draft a letter for the commission to send to this doctor?
Yes, okay. Yes, yeah. And will I have to get that approved by
approval? It will just be the standard congratulatory remarks. You can vote on it now since this is an agenda item.
Find out where. He was reviewing his book at the Commonwealth Club. It was not a regular Commonwealth Club meeting, but there is on the internet, there is a way to hear the speech he gave at that and about his book and about his life. And I can find out where things should be mailed other than just Johns Hopkins.
Yeah. No, it'd be nice if we could get the personalized. So Vera will get back to you as to where she thinks the right location then, right?
Yeah. Staff can just look that up.
Okay, all right. Okay, so if nobody opposes, can I get a vote of that to send
you
a letter?
A motion and a second?
Yeah, can I get a...
I'll move.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Okay, anybody opposed? See none. Okay, all right. Thank you, Director. So we'll do that then. So finally... there's no more on that. Item 8, which is the director staff report. Thank you, director.
Thank you, Chair. Commissioners, I have four items, maybe four and a half. First of all, want to thank you, thank Commissioner McCarthy, Fuentes, and Hale for supporting the Immigrant Youth Summit that was held on October 28th. That was planned by two of our women's fellows, Happy Yang, Commissioner on the Youth Commission, in partnership with our own Danielle Lamb. And it was really Danielle who did all of the majority of the implementation. She did a phenomenal job. There were about 100 high schoolers from different, I think at least 7 or 8 different high schools. Yeah, and she had to organize everything from how to bus the kids here, which was not an easy feat, and to put the program together. She got tons of donations from, she did an amazing job putting this together. So I wanted to commend Danielle for all of her efforts. So we're very pleased. This went down as a partnership between the Youth Commission and the Immigrant Rights Commission. It would have been nice to have seen other commissioners there, but you were well represented by the three who did come and spend some time with the kids. It was so positive that the mayor's education liaison and chair of the, or president of the Board of Education wants to do this again next year. We're not so sure the Youth Commission wants to do it, but it was interesting. I think next year the commission may want to consider working with a slightly older youth group, and Danielle will be the implementer for that for you. And then some of you may have heard that the mayor announced recently when he opened Pearl's Burgers at 6th and Market, that there's going to be an expansion of our community ambassadors program. That's the project, safety project we're running in District 10. We are now expanding, and we will be doing a pilot, a one-year pilot or half a year pilot in District 6 in the mid-market corridor between 5th and 12th Street. And the same idea, they're very visible community ambassadors patrolling the area and helping, in this case, it would be visitors, workers, residents, and anyone else who needs assistance. And our own Commissioner Fuentes will be now supervising a second team out in the field. It's amazing what he's done with the program with Rich Whipple. They've done a tremendous amount. The program is well received in D10. We are, of course, we were asked to put this program together with no resources, no money, and no people. And we're using Jobs Now 3 workers. That's a work stimulus program from the federal stimulus money, which helps subsidize the salaries, all the overheads being carried by our office. So it's an amazing thing that our program is growing. And we'll give you another report once we get the pilot up and running. And then the annual letter was issued a couple of weeks ago for the language access ordinance compliance. That was right on time. It was following a very successful mandatory training of all city departments. The law does not require mandatory training. Our office put that requirement on. It's amazing how many city departments show up when you say it's mandatory training. But the encouraging thing was not only that they attend, but they were very enthusiastic. We made the workshops very interactive. You have full commitment from our city departments to make sure that they're serving our LEP residents in the right way, and they're enthused about it. So I want to thank the staff for helping us to put that together, and Isis Fernandez-Sykes and her team. And then starting tomorrow, the language access, language translation and interpretation team headed by Isis will be doing all of the interpretation at the series of redistricting meetings. Tomorrow's is at the Hall of Flowers starting at 6 o'clock, if any commissioners would like to attend. In the evening.
For what districts?
I think it's 1, no, it's 7. There's, if which districts are being represented at this meeting?
1, 2,
one, two, and five.
It's going to be done for all the districts?
Yeah, so the redistricting task force is holding a series. I think there's 16 total meetings and all around the city to, thank you.
So they're moving the boundaries at the different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Do we actually know the boundaries yet?
No, these are.
That's what they're.
No, that's what they're going to be sharing.
That's why they're.
They're going to be explaining the redistricting process and what the boundaries are. So tomorrow's meeting at 6 o'clock is at the Hall Flowers at 9th and Lincoln, and it's districts 1, 2, and 5. And then on Saturday, November 19th, it'll be districts 3, 6, and 8 down in the Tenderloin, and we'll send the schedule around to all commissioners. And on Wednesday, December 7th. Is meeting at Horace Mann Middle School, and that'll be districts 9 and 10. And then,
that's so based on the census, isn't it?
Pardon?
Yeah. Is that based on the census?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of it is based, and of course, you know that the California boundaries districts were redrawn, and then that affects San Francisco, and then our local supervisorial districts in turn will be adjusted. Okay, and then finally, two of the staff, which we apologize, we weren't at the last commission meeting, because two of us were at the National Immigrant Integration Conference in Seattle, and I presented on the city ID card and alternative forms of identification for undocumented youth, was the name of our session. It was an extremely well-attended, they oversubscribed, conference, and we got a lot of interest in the what the Immigrant Rights Commission is doing, what our office is doing here in San Francisco, a few invitations to partner with some national groups. We had three funders approached us about possibly funding something with the Immigrant Rights Commission, so some symposium next year. So that's why we're very anxious and looking forward to your retreat so that we can actually cook up some solid ideas and then pitch them to our potential funders. So we're very excited about that. And then I think that's it. Oh, also there is an executive committee meeting scheduled for November 23rd, the day before Thanksgiving, and the staff would like to know if the executive committee would like to reschedule or cancel that meeting.
What are you looking for, your blue folder?
And staff is not adverse to you canceling.
I move we cancel that executive committee meeting.
I passed it on. Is that what it's to do?
Sorry, we got sidetracked there. What was that? Sorry, Commissioner.
I had an important motion.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. Go ahead, Commissioner.
No. I was making a motion to cancel the November executive committee meeting.
I agree with Commissioner Maldonado. What I really would like to see if we can probably reschedule, because we have to meet about the consul reception still. I believe that we had to do the last details, so we'll leave it like that.
Yesterday.
Actually, I think the staff can handle the remainder of the tasks on that.
Okay.
So, cancel the executive meeting. We're fine. Okay. What? Just sorry, because I missed it. What day was it actually agreed on?
The
23rd.
It's Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving. 23rd.
Okay, we will cancel that then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. With that, we're going on to new business. But before, I can just do this in new business here. Well, why don't you go, Commissioner Hill? You've got some.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure everyone knew about the challenge that is happening to the DREAM Act. The California Immigrant Policy Center had been doing training on implementation of the DREAM Act, but now there is someone who has a legislator who is trying to get signatures to get it repealed. So the California Immigrant Policy Center has sent out some information on how to handle that. And I wanted you to have the information. It's some representative from a place called Twin Peaks that I guess is in Southern California.
Orange County.
Yeah.
Orange County is repealing it.
So they have, this has some talking points, and I thought if you have a chance to look at it, it might help. Their perspective has been to present a positive view of the DREAM Act and the benefits that we'll have for people and how it will nurture the next generation. And they want people to still do this, and if they see someone trying to promote this petition, they have to get 504,000 votes, and I hope they don't get them all in Southern California in the next week or month. But to continue to stress the positive and to tell people who are promoting the petition that there are better ways to promote the development of young people in this country that will benefit this country. So I wanted just to make sure you had copies of this to refer to, since it was one bit of good news we've had in the past couple of months, and everybody was so pleased, and of course, then you have to make sure you keep it. We keep it.
So, just, and you probably said this already, Commissioner, but when is it actually, to appeal it, it has to go on some sort of ballot initiative, right?
That's right. Yes.
So when is right. that? When is that?
Yes. They have to have the signatures by January 6th. It doesn't say when it would be on the ballot.
Whatever ballot, okay.
Yeah, it's just to qualify for
yeah.
the ballot.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
could we kind of earmark this to touch base in January on this at our commission meeting and see what happens, and we can soundbite from there then? I think it's going to fail. I don't think they'll get the signatures. But as you said, let's just keep a close eye on it, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll earmark to put that back on our calendar.
We can put this
yeah.
on your agenda for the retreat.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Perfect. Thank you for bringing it to our
Chair
attention.
Chair McCarthy,
yes.
just want to make, I think they will get collect the signature.
They
that's
will get
what
the signatures,
yes,
yeah.
That's what it's a very,
amount, right?
Okay. Remember to Onai. Prop 209, and remember there is a huge anti-immigrant, especially down in Southern Cal. So it is a very important thing for us to take up.
All right, so what we'll do is we'll check in with that then in January, okay? Also, just before we close out, we have here a certificate of honour for our former Commissioner Samir Dafora, and he has gone on to bigger pastures. Well, he's no longer with the Commission, and so we have our traditional certificate that we're going to send out to him to thank him for his service here. And unfortunately, he could not stay with us, but we wish him well in the future. Is there any other business?
I think we should ask him to recommend someone else. We now have no
one
out in the Middle East.
We have. Well, we've all our seats full now, right?
No, that leaves an opening, but there was a previous applicant, and we could talk about that.
But that said, also to close out, welcome our new commissioners. Thank you for taking on this.
Thank you for the warm welcome.
Long and lonely journey as immigrant commissioners, and we really appreciate you being here. Okay, is there any further business? Nope, see none. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think he offered what he said. Yeah, he's doing something.
Yeah.